5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. Anyway, you'll find a way.
Catamaran home!
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. I'm James Donald Forbes McCann, and this is a program about me trying to raise the funds necessary to buy a boat with a podcast. Namely, this podcast, which now has a new, updated visual element, the studio. I wouldn't say it was done, but we're really getting there. The seaweed has been beautifully arranged. Eve, my producer, is sitting in the corner. Hello, Eve.
Hey, James.
Eve will speak when spoken to, and no more than that. We've heard your criticisms and we've taken them on board. But Eve, you've done a wonderful job. And that wasn't me inviting you to say something, but I just want you to know you've done a wonderful job preparing the notes. We've got a better, more constructed, do you know what I'm saying? Not just a ramshackle all over the place production anymore. If we're going to go and get that boat, we've got to be tight, right, professional. That's why we've brought in a producer. And today I've been handed this manila envelope containing some of the things we'll be doing for this show. But before we begin with the show proper, we commence with the pledge. The pledge that we say at the start of every episode that I remember to say the pledge. And we invite you and Eve, you can have the microphone for this bit.
Okay.
You the listener. We now do the pledge. This is the main way we grow the podcast. We don't have a lot of money for advertising. A lot of money going aside for that boat. Actually, I'm spending a lot of the money at the moment feeding my family and paying for rent. But once it gets big enough, boat, I pledge.
I pledge.
That's right. We'll be repeating after, like Eve has done. I pledge that this week.
I pledge that this week.
I will tell somebody about.
I will tell somebody about.
The James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan.
The James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan.
And encourage them to listen.
And encourage them to listen.
Thus growing the podcast.
Thus growing the podcast.
And getting James that boat.
And getting James that boat.
Catamaran ho!
Catamaran ho.
Wow, let's begin with the manila envelope opening. So many wonderful things to be going on with today.
Behold the opening of the manila envelope. Behold the commencement of the catamaran plan.
I said before with the notes, not enough line spacing. Beautifully line spaced, Eve, responding to the constructive criticisms there. Now, first segment, we'll be doing it. Well, first segment was a preamble segment. That's the pledge. Second segment is we're planning our trip once the boat comes. The podcast has grown so exponentially. It's over quadrupled. I think it's octupled since I've come to America. If we keep going at this rate, we'll have the boat lickety split. Now, if the boat came tomorrow. If the boat came tomorrow, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to go. We've got to start preparing. And that's why the first segment we'll be doing is called Summoning the Mind Boat.
Summoning the Mind Boat.
We'll put in some sort of stinger there.
Summoning the Mind Boat.
I was about to do that, but that's the sort of keen producerial insight that we so desperately require on this show. I'm going to calm down. I wish I could smoke in here, but this is a rental property and we're committing it to video. I'm out of zins. Yeah, it's not great. We're going to do a route around the world. What's that, James? A sex tour? No, not that sort of route. R-O-U-T-E. I'm going to start in North America, then come down. Oh, we could have got a globe. I've got a globe inside. We do have a map. Yeah. We're going to start here in this uncharted, then uncharted part of the map. And we're going to come down and around and then over and then up and then down to Australia. My thought is to go backwards around the world, thus maximizing the use of the boat. So after we leave North America, presumably in, I don't know, Los Angeles, that's where we might buy the boat. Well, where's the first place that we'll be stopping? Mexico. Eve has, you've assembled how many facts? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wow, I only said you had to get 5. 6 fun facts about Mexico that I might prepare myself for the journey. Here we go. Mexico is fact number 1. Are these arranged in any order?
I put them in a certain ascension, but there's no...
Are they getting funnier or are they getting...
No, you'll have to be the judge.
Right.
I just gave you facts. You're the funny.
Mexico has the second highest number of Catholics of any country, with more than 96 million Catholics out of a population of 130 million. Wow, that's a lot of Catholics. Have you just done this? Are they all about Catholicism? Have you done
I
that?
I just figured that we can have an ongoing Catholic index figure for each country.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how... I think they might be that sort of... You know these Hispanic Catholics, some of them very devout, so beautiful. Some of them, they do this, they kill a nun, they sell drugs to children. I've seen it out there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Microphone down. When you're spoken to, you may speak. So a lot of Catholics. What's the number one, though, I wonder?
I forget. Is it America?
It's going to be Brazil.
Brazil.
It's got to be Brazil. A lot of evangelicals converting in South America. Did you know that? Listener... Mexico City is sinking about 20 inches per year, as I like to call it, one little James. For comparison, Venice sank 9 inches in all of the 20th century, during the same time Mexico City sank 30 feet. That's so many little Jameses. That's too much sinking. Fact number 3, Mexico has more pyramids than Egypt and also has the world's largest pyramid. Let's be honest, those pyramids aren't going to be as good. It's interesting. Mexicans drink more Coke per capita than any country in the world. 2.2 litres per person per day. That can't be right.
That's right.
You fact checked that?
I fact checked it.
2.2 litres per person per day.
On average.
Are you sure that's the Coke that you think?
You're right. It's all just cocaine.
Yeah.
2.2
litres per day. Wow. 2.2 liters. Do you know what that is in America? That's like a gallon. Isn't it? It's so many drops. Norethindrone, a necessary precursor to modern birth control, was invented and synthesized in Mexico. So it's not all good.
I knew you'd hate
that
one. I knew you'd
disgusting.
Hate it.
Look at that. Higher number of Catholics and invented birth control. Shame on them. Oh, look at that. You said that there was one special thing for each one of them. It's the Jew news, isn't it? You can't resist
that one's
bringing your fiendishly evangelical Judaism to the show. Mexico just elected a Jewish woman as president.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Sometimes two wrongs do make a right. That's what I say. All right. Now we come to a very special part of the podcast. Pearls of Wisdom.
Pearls of Wisdom, tell the poor man.
I leave a pause there so that we can put some music or something. Pearls of Wisdom. We need women to listen to this show. Watch this show. Just drink up the visual element. We've got advice. We've got advice now. Advice column. Women love advice. They love getting it. And Eve has gone and looked at the Guardian's advice column for a piece of advice that I can improve. Now, hold on. Did you write what they said as well?
I just copied and pasted it.
Okay. So do you know what the official response is?
No.
So we'll just assume it was bad because it was The Guardian.
I know that you don't like most people. So I just, and I did read it, and it was always like, well, the important thing is to consider,
yes.
And that's not you.
When I've been doing the advice column, I'm doing that more and more. Someone was like, my ex feeds our kids before pizza night when she drops them off. And it's like, what advice are you going to give there other than have a meaningful conversation, try and be heard, yeah. Try and be there. But you can't be like, force the kids to vomit or just like
or
bash your ex.
Because now you're a father and you're like, well, actually, it sounds like she's a really good parent.
Yeah, when my wife leaves me, I hope she's feeding the kids before she drops them off.
Of course.
She'll never leave.
Well, maybe.
Some strong edits out. My daughter is in her early 40s. She would really like to have met a partner and had a family. However, having been single for a number of years, she is now considering IVF treatment. It's the problem of having a producer who knows who I am. Is everything going to be Catholic birth control stuff?
Everything's going to be something I think you'll enjoy.
At times, she has taken medication for depression, which has been helpful. Shut her up. But has stopped to prepare for IVF on the advice of her GP. She's very unsure of whether she is doing the right thing. Yeah, my massively depressed daughter who doesn't have a husband doesn't know if getting pumped full of strange eggs and cum is a judicious, prudential move. Sorry. I'm not sure if the effects of coming off the antidepressants are causing her to wonder if she should continue with the IVF. The pressure of her age, together with whether she will cope on her own and be a good mother, is adding to her anxiety. These doubts suggest to her that this means she can't want a child as much as she should. While I would love to have a grandchild, the f***ing mask comes off. Sweetie, get off the antidepressants. You want a baby. You should want a baby. I feel a loss as to how to help her make the right decision. I'm concerned about her depression and coping alone with a baby. She does have a good network of friends who are very happy to support her. No, they're not. You know all these like single women who come around and help you when you have a child? No, they're out finding a husband. Some are great, and we're so grateful to have the friends we've got, but it's a trope that you lose all your friends when you have a baby. Eve, all right, now this would be an appropriate time to bring Eve into the podcast. I asked you to move into this very converted garage to help me raise the children.
Right, that's true.
I said you could be a producer, we'll shoot the show, mm-hmm. You help me with the kids, we explode into success.
And you said I could have free rent as well.
Yeah.
And I said,
and you could quit your job, and you said, absolutely not.
I said, go to something yourself.
You can, I'll just
I said, go
f***
yourself.
You said,
no,
go f*** yourself.
Because I said this, I said, if I had, I love your wife, I love your kids.
Yes.
You and I are great. If
don't
I had
love
to,
me. There we go.
What'd right. You say?
We can have.
I love
a
you too, but
I love
you know,
you too.
I just I don't want you to take it the wrong way.
Yeah.
but
we've been talking about my dumb phone, how I'm trying to get women,
yes,
to stop
sending
with the DMs.
You pictures of their you know what's. But if I had to live with you and
yeah.
share a kitchen with you, I
yes.
wouldn't be your friend. I wouldn't be your friend. Your kids are great, whatever. But if I had to, if I was like, oh, I want some tea, and I went in,
I'd be willing to sacrifice our friendship to make us more successful and get ahead in this country, and then we could do really well, and then we never talk to each other again in 4 years.
That part, we're still working together. We
That's
could
true.
Ultimately sacrifice
no,
our friendship.
Good. Look, ultimately, it's good. It's probably the right move. We do need an au pair.
Yeah, of course, it's the right move. You know why? Because I'm still speaking to you. If I lived here for free, I would not want to be friends with you anymore. But
fair.
That's true of anybody with
fair.
Kids. That's true, but it's not you.
You don't think I can be friends with the au pair?
Oh,
that we
well, that's a
in?
Different. Depends on what country she's from. Yeah. You don't think I can be friends
get
with
one
the-
of these juicy Mexican au pairs when we go to Mexico?
Those are your crab hands.
Yeah. It's yeah. Not. Is that not how everybody fingers?
No, yeah.
Right. But seriously, folks, it's very important on this program. This, you know what? This is season two. We'll get back to this lady and her just terrible situation with her daughter. Early 40s. That must be nightmarish.
That is me, for the record. I'm 40.
Oh, is this
but,
your...
Yes, no, me. It's dear be. James. No, I think that... I know what you're going to say. I think you shouldn't have a kid when you're feeling unstable as a single parent.
A child is not a good thing to help make you feel better about your life.
Right.
Like... People should be happy to not have kids. I say this all the time. Maybe it sounds like a dig at my own children, but it's like, not everyone's meant to have kids. Some people are sterile. Some people had their dicks chopped off when they were four.
Right.
You know?
And again, I think also maybe if you think that way, you should probably be more pro-birth control.
No. People should just stop having sex.
Right. Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's a fallen world. But that, we don't compromise on what the truth is so that people can have an easier, better time. Why would you lie to people about the nature of reality?
What's the nature of it?
Go raw, leave it in. Feels right. Better all the time.
It does. But you know what doesn't feel good is having a child when you're depressed or being raised by someone who is depressed and they just got horny once and wanted to bone and now that's your mom.
Sometimes you got to pay the cost to be the boss.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if that's the official church position, but that's my retort. No, I mean, it's better to have life than not. Better to have life and be raised by a depressed person than not. But it's, I think we owe more of a duty of care to telling people how to have sex good, the right way, than we do to ensure that depressed people don't have children. Because there will be depressed people always having children. We can't have a position on that. People are always going to fuck up, but that doesn't mean you change the rules for them. Always better to cheat on your partner than to have an open relationship. Because at least then you still know what the truth is. Better not to cheat on your partner.
Right.
But open there's something about open relationships where you go, ah. Do you have that feeling?
Oh, I think it's horrible. I think,
right.
I think honestly, if rent weren't so expensive, you wouldn't have so many open relationships with young people. I think people basically, they just are like, I'm married, this sucks, I cannot afford to live alone.
This is the conservative argument for lowering the rent so that people can live more stable lives. But if you cheat, you're cheating on your partner and that's terrible. But if you have an open relationship, you're cheating on the truth of human nature.
From yourself.
Yeah.
I agree. I've known a lot of people who had open relationships. They all told me to read Sex at Dawn. They all told me...
Sex at Dawn?
Yeah, it's this book about how it's like, actually, polyamory is our nature and women are better off for this and whatever. All of them, first of all, the women suffered the most.
Do they?
Well, it was the women idea.
Yeah, but you know why? Women do often want to open it up.
But you know why? Because the women aren't being boned right, basically. And so they're like, I love you, but I think I should fuck other people. And you can too.
Because they're on the birth control leave.
No, but these are not women who are on birth control.
Oh.
Yeah. And
these are women in open relationships who are off birth control.
Right. But I mean, they're using condoms or whatever.
Oh.
But in all the cases I know, they broke up and it was mostly because of the women.
This is why you can't let the... We've gone on down an avenue. This was meant to be a fun, nice, uplifting podcast about boat ownership, not just me saying women can't be trusted to make big decisions.
We can always cut it. But I
once did have a girlfriend say... We can have a one-sided open relationship and you can do whatever you know,
where
Italian
you
husband.
Could.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that she, because she didn't have a very high sex drive. And right. I found that such a turnoff.
Yeah, I was in that.
Know,
that
I
she
just,
doesn't
I
want you enough.
Oh, to be shackled to frustrating monogamy is the jet fuel by which married life can thrive, I think.
Yeah.
It's meant to be uncomfortable.
As somebody who's not married and not even in a relationship, I think I'm an expert on this. But basically, when you get horny...
There's so much of this that's coming out.
My point is that...
This is not just an opportunity for you to...
You told me I could curse.
Yeah, you can curse. But as we enter into minute 30 of your obsene sex fantasies, it comes out of the show.
No, I'm extrapolating from what you're saying.
Mm. Eve, put the microphone down. The listeners want some solitary James Donald Forbes McCann time. Encourage your daughter not to have... Just tell her to go and find someone she likes. And if she has a baby, she has a baby. And if she doesn't, that's okay. And if your bloodline ends with her, then shame on you for not having more kids. All right. That's my advice to the mother. It closes that off. That was Pearls of Wisdom.
That was Pearls of Wisdom. Pearls of Wisdom on your podcast.
Oh, now for a wonderful segment that people love. People are so happy with. People have demanded it return. Ocean News.
Ocean News.
Republicans now want to rename the oceans after Donald Trump. Love it. A proposed bill from a House Republican would rename coastal waters around the U.S. Where did this story come from?
That's at the bottom.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Oh, no, it's under the title of the article.
Ah, yes, it is. It's from The Independent. which I think is actually a globalist shill newspaper. So I'm sure that they're going to be very nasty about this one. A proposed bill from a House Republican would rename coastal waters around the US after former President Donald Trump, whose administration rolled back dozens of environmental rules while he was in office, phrased as though the seas would be absolutely furious to have this happen. Legislation from Florida Representative Greg Stube would rename the US Executive Economic Zone, which is not a great name, the EUEZ. It's called the EUZ to the Donald Trump... Ooh, the Donald John Trump Executive Economic Zone of the United States. Now that's catchy. I love it. That area spans roughly 4.3 million nautical miles and extends no more than 200 nautical miles from the territorial sea baseline, and it's adjacent to the 12 nautical mile territorial sea I'm bored. In office, Trump reversed nearly 100 environmental rules governing clean water, air, and wildlife. That doesn't feel like it has anything to do with the story. This is a story about naming the sea something cool, and now we're just saying that he's not good on climate change. He said, "Drill, baby, drill" was his slogan. I mean, it's a great slogan. Steuben's legislation, the first blah, 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 blah. Someone else wanted to call something after Trump. Well, this is not so much ocean news as it is that Trump is very popular with a lot of Republicans. And that is true. I sense the goodwill right around America. You can feel it in the air. Eve's voting for Trump.
That's not true.
Eve's got a little sign up out front of her apartment building saying Trump, Trump, Trump. True. And the homeless guy who's living out front of her house, she goes out and points at him in the mornings and goes, 2025!
Not true.
You're gone! Build a wall. Ah, now it's time for Eve's segment. Although it feels like Eve has weaseled her way into quite a few segments on this, the first episode. Teething problems.
You invited me in.
I'm going to have to... It's not a vampire situation where I invite you in and then you're there to stay. You have your contribution. You're in and you're out.
All right.
Eve's doing a great job. We love what Eve's done for the podcast. This segment is called Shout Out to Ships, and Eve will be telling us about some of her favorite ships.
Shout out to ships.
Give it up for Eve making her way onto the set. Eve, tell us about your new segment. Yeah, we'll have to do something about that long term. Shout out to ships.
All right, shout out to ships.
Leave some time for the stinger.
Shout out to ships.
Shout out to ships.
Shout out to ships. Oh no, we'll get very Jewish music.
Yeah. You're like do 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 do. Shout out.
Well, you have to tell me what the Jewish music is. I don't. It'll be Neil Diamond.
Is he Jewish? Okay.
King of the Jews.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. No. Okay. So shout out to this week. The shout out to this was my segment.
Yes.
Shout out to ships this week. Shout it out to the first cruise ship I ever went on.
Wow.
Bing bang. I was going to say bing bang boom. That's your thing.
I've never been on a cruise ship.
Really? I've never. Been on three.
Wow.
Yeah. When I was a kid.
I always wanted to be a cruise ship performer. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, thank you. It's like you want me to be seen. It's called the SS Norway.
Okay.
All right. So it was a cruise ship, originally called the SS France, originally commissioned as a transatlantic ocean liner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was built in 1960, decommissioned in 2005. And at the time that it was built, get ready, it was the longest ship in the world.
What?
It was, if I remember.
What year was that built again?
1960.
Wow.
316 meters.
Bigger than the Titanic.
Oh, the Titanic was actually pretty small. It was just big at the time.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I've looked it up.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And this was... It only sailed for like 45 years, this ship. And then it was decommissioned?
A long time for a ship, apparently.
And when did you get on this ship?
I got on the ship in 1989.
Whoa.
Best year in the ship's history. I read it in the...
You would have been only like 26.
Has anyone ever told you to go f*** yourself? Sorry, you can... Deep. Bleep.
How did you find your time on the ship?
It was great. It was me, my dad, my mom, my brother. They had a kids thing. We would go on little treasure hunts. They would stop at all these islands in the Bahamas and the Caribbean. Although I looked this up, apparently the Bahamas is not technically in the Caribbean, or it's on the Caribbean Sea. Did you know that?
This is just some of the incredible nautical facts we'll be discovering on the podcast. Any other fun facts about the ship?
Okay, so it was usurped as the longest boat in the world, but not until 2004. by the RMS Queen Mary
Hold
II.
Hold on. So they built a ship that was longer, and then the next year they decommissioned.
I know. That's what happens. Well, there's a little bit more of a dark tale to this.
Oh.
So in 2003, a boiler exploded on the ship, killing 8 members of the crew and injuring 17. I don't think any of the passengers, only the peasants, you know, the crew below deck. You've seen Titanic.
I've never seen Titanic.
Really?
No, I don't like thinking of something bad happening to a boat. So I would never watch it.
After that, I think it didn't really have much time left. They renamed it the Blue Lady. So it was first the SS France.
After it blew up and killed a bunch of people, they thought, let's get a little name change in here.
Yeah, they were like, you know, it's a kind of like a PR situation. They're like, if we just change the name.
But I loved it. It was the longest ship in the world.
Yeah.
And then for 1 year, someone else took over and they said, it's blow it up.
Well, what they did apparently...
Blow it up for real this time,
well,
rather than...
they renamed it so that they could auction it off.
Ah! Yeah.
And there's a piece of it, the hull, I think, I forget, is like somewhere in France.
So they broke it up and they sold it to different people.
Yeah. Apparently that's what they do. They sell, you get this, you get that, like, and they might put it in a new boat or they might put it in a museum. Maybe they melt it down, I don't know. But it's now like thousands.
I wonder if maybe for the set we could buy piece of a boat.
That's so smart.
Maybe we could start building the boat one piece at a time.
Maybe we can start with that thing that went down to the Titanic last year that exploded. You know, that little tin can.
The submarine?
Yeah. That's submersible.
Do you think that's available for sale?
I'm sure it is, but I don't think that we're going to get it. I think it's a lot of money.
Eve, not openly saying that she's Jewish, but just...
I'm the producer.
That was the only big comment, was that people go, is she a Jewish woman? I couldn't tell. Someone had it new, right?
Yeah, that's true. And you know what I took that as? Flirting. I was like,
really?
Sir, I will not sleep with you unless you start, you know, DMing me dirty words for Jews. And then I might think about it.
Now it's time for a segment called Fish of the Week. I was meant to do some research and come up with a fish of the week. I didn't do it. So we'll be moving on to the final segment, affirmations.
Affirmations!
I affirm that I'm going to put some more work into Fish of the Week next time. I didn't do very much. We're going to shoot the next episode right after this one.
Affirmation.
I'm going to research Fish of the Week before we start that episode, rather than just looking it up right before. I affirm that we're going to keep making this set more beautiful and interesting.
Affirmation!
I'm happy with the lighting setup. The camera will do for now. We're shooting on an iPhone 11. But I affirm that I'm not done crafting this into a professional operation. We're getting so much closer. I affirm. Affirmations. I'm going to be keeping Eve more in a box. This is the James Donald Forbes McCann catamaran plan. If we could have maybe 1 to 2 to 3 interjections from Eve, I think everyone would be satisfied with that. But I also affirm...
Affirmation!
...that we've got to go and look up Eve on the Instagram and help her have a successful career. Great comedian, what a lady. I affirm...
Affirmation!
...that we are going to persist with this podcast. Obviously the amount of effort required for this episode... order of magnitude greater than it would usually be of just me sitting alone in the car. But I think when you believe in something, you have to be prepared to work for it, and that's what we're doing here on the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan.
Affirmation.
Now I feel good about that episode. I think that'll cut down nice.
Great.
That'll be a good first episode.
At Eve Elbow. You can splice that in where my Instagram
I've got to say, don't forget to join the Patreon. All right.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.